Sometimes the fun begins when the paved road ends. Chevy Silverado 2500 HD is made to work hard and play hard on the road or off. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details and experience life in HD.
Thinking big thoughts so you don't have to.
Hi.
Here's John Williams.
This is John. We're in the Allstate Skyline Studio. I just did my Elizabeth Holmes impersonation. I hope you enjoyed it. I worked real hard not to do that a lot today. We're in the Allstate Skyline Studio until 3. We're here weekdays 1 to 3, Saturdays 10 to noon on social media. Look for WGN King John. That's me on social media. Remember the Mincing Rascals podcast? We dropped it last night about 5. That's normally when you can pick it up on Thursdays, and it's a brand new edition of what the Headliner Club in Chicago said was the best podcast in the city of Chicago. Speaking of fun things we get to do with you, tickets and information for our next Thomas Jefferson show. Did you hear him this week? He was delightful and insightful. Ticket information will come your way Monday at this time. But I'll tell you right now, we're going to be at the Tivoli Theater in Downers Grove Saturday, May 18th at 10 a.m. So where are you going to be Monday at this time? Tell your friends to listen Monday at this time. I'll be telling you how to get tickets to see Thomas Jefferson in Downers Grove Saturday, May 18th. Saturday, May 18th. Please circle that on your calendar at 10 a.m. We've scheduled one show this time. We've been doing two each visit that TJ comes to Chicago, but since he's coming twice this year, I think we'll do one now and one in the fall, and we'd love it if you were there. I don't have ticket purchasing information for you now. I'm telling you that Monday, I'll give you every detail that you'll need. That's Monday, 1:10. Be listening. It's now 1:11. Good enough. By the way, I was doing my Elizabeth Holmes voice because I watched that documentary last night. I don't know if you've done that. Have you watched that HBO documentary called The Inventor, Out for Blood in Silicon Valley? It's about the woman who was behind, she really was, Theranos, that company that said with a prick on your finger, you'll get a drop of blood and be able to test for all sorts of diseases and ailments. It was going to revolutionize the world. She was the Stephen Jobs. She was the Bill Gates. She was the Archimedes. I mean, she was like one of these great transformative human figures. She was a fraud. She was a sham. The book about that by John Carreyrou, which is referenced considerably in the doc, is really the go-to source for me. There was an article in The New Yorker, the book followed that, and now the documentary, and then a feature film. When we interviewed John from The Wall Street Journal about this, his, I think, reporting and telling of it was really, really good. And you know how the books are always better than the movie? This really is a classic case in point. The documentary's good, and she's bizarre, and it's fine. But it to me, it leaves more questions unanswered than it does answer. And the big one is, what was her motive? Was she a scam artist from the beginning, or was she just faking it until she could make it? Were her intentions sincere? Producer Griffin doesn't think that that's as critical a question. At the end of the day, that technology would not, did not, and does not work. It doesn't exist in the real world. And it was a scam, whether she intended it to be or not. I think that's a distinction worth pursuing. But one of the really interesting parts about the documentary is that the old white men love her. Here she is, this 20-year-old blonde with really red lipstick on. And she's thin and she wears dark turtlenecks the way Stephen Jobs did. And all of her clothes are that way. You know why she dresses that way? Not because she wants to emulate her hero. That would be almost juvenile, but no. Because she's so focused on the corporation. She's so living and breathing Theranos that it would be easier for her to go into her closet and just grab the black turtleneck and put it on. That's why she does it. That way she can focus more. She's not worried about her clothes. She's worried about changing the world. So there's George Shultz, former Secretary of State George Shultz, going, yeah, I'll have some. And there's Mike Mattis, and there's Henry Kissinger, and there's venture capital guys. And they're all going, well, she doesn't really know any science, and we don't know any science, but I think I'll give her $100 million. And that happened. Walgreens did that, for crying out loud. I'm interested to see the feature film on this. If you watch the doc, at least you'll get a chance to look at her and just see the wackiness of it, see how thin it is. But if you want a sort of a thicker dive on it, then read the book, which is called Bad Blood. Bad Blood is the book that you'll want to read if you're really into this. I guess I'm not going to stop doing that. By the way, Ernie, what's your last name, sir?
That would be Scatton.
What do you do here? What do you do here?
I part-time engineer and do the commercials as well.
What have you been walking around the halls all day long saying?
Well, today, for a short period, I was number one. I only lost one game yesterday in the brackets.
You make it sound like you were winning.
I felt like I get to come in today and brag about it for a while. Now, I have not seen any games today, so I do not know if I've still only lost one game. But I refuse to go look.
You are still number one. I know you said you didn't want to look, but staring at it.
I like it.
What games he picked up today, or is he picking up, Lauren?
Let's see here. Because only one has been final so far today, correct? And that would be, what game was that?
Hold on, I'll pull it up here. I've got it in front of me.
I like having people do my job for me. Please tell me my score.
Let's see here. So you've got, I don't think any games are final today.
Okay, no,
you've got Iowa-Cincinnati, and that's 62 apiece with 4 minutes left. Who do you got on that one, Ernie?
If I had to guess, I think Iowa.
You don't even know.
I don't.
And then you've got Oklahoma's whooping Mississippi.
I got Oklahoma, I'm
the nine is killing the eight on that one with halfway through the second half.
Pretty sure I got Oklahoma.
It's a 20-point margin there. They're nearing the end of the first half. Northern Kentucky is down 7 to number 3 Texas Tech. That's with 5.5 minutes left. Texas Tech 22, Northern Kentucky 15. You probably picked the 3
on
that one.
Texas Tech in that for sure.
Have Kansas State the 4 over UC Irvine the 13.
I do.
They're just underway 9-5 there. And then I presume you've got Virginia winning. I presume you've got Duke winning, et cetera.
I do. I have Duke winning it all, actually. And if they lose, I'm in trouble. I will tell you, I actually made these picks from the time I got out of the shower to the time I got upstairs to get dressed yesterday morning because I completely forgot. And I was going to pick the one game that I lost, the
Wofford.
I keep wanting to say Wofford. I was going to pick Wofford, but I didn't because I didn't want to be that guy that picked it because it sounded like a woman's last name that I worked with. I should have done it.
Sounds to me like a breakfast treat. And so how can you take seriously Wofford's?
Wofford.
And Wofford won over Seton Hall. I had Seton Hall winning 2 or 3 games. Seton Hall played well in the Big East tournament, and they were finishing strong. And I thought, let's go with Seton Hall. That was my crazy. Boy, if he's right, Williams knew something. Williams didn't know anything.
Mine was Murray State. I picked them to win a couple of games, actually, because I like that Jay Morant.
Has Murray State played?
They haven't played today. They played yesterday, and they won. They were 12. It was the 12-5 upset.
Yo, there you go.
I got my 12-5 upset in the correct one.
I did. And I had that one, too, but only because I like picking the 12s. I didn't know enough about
I want the Bulls to get that guard, so I'm pulling for Murray State.
Oh, you want
State
Zion Williamson?
No, so. I don't want Zion. He can't shoot.
You want the guard of Murray State?
I want the guard of Murray State, Jay Morant.
That kid is a
player. He is
fun to watch.
He had a triple-double. I mean, he was incredible yesterday.
Okay, so every office, though, has a guy like Ernie today.
One day Ernie.
Who's running around, skipping, clicking his heels, coming up to people he doesn't know.
That's right. I could be out of it by tonight. By tonight, I could lose all these games, and tonight I could be in last place. I celebrate when I can. I'm celebrating.
I will say, Ernie, you did pick Cincinnati, though.
Yeah, baby.
I just looked. Well, yeah, they're losing right now.
Here's the thing about Ernie.
Oh, did I? I didn't pick. Oh, okay.
Yep.
That's bad.
Here's the thing about Ernie. Ernie didn't even know he picked Cincinnati.
No clue.
He's also, not only is Ernie the guy running around clicking his heels at the office, he's also the person who doesn't even know what he's doing and happens to be winning.
I told you, I picked my teams in like 5 minutes. I ran through it quick.
Worst
I forgot.
Worst kind of bracket winner. At least make it somebody who goes, well, I stayed up late one night and watched the West Coast games. No, Ernie didn't do that.
Nah, I catch college games every now and then. I had to give college basketball up when I got married. My wife said, you can have one. I was in sports radio at the time. And she said, you can have one or the other. You're not taking all weekend long.
What did you keep?
I kept pros. I'm just
You're an NBA guy.
I'm an NBA guy. I'm an NFL guy. I'm a pro guy.
Get out of the studio.
Love you.
Bye, Ernie.
Number one.
Hey, there are 3 number twos right behind him, and I'm one of them.
There you go. And here's a lady who came from sports radio once upon a time. So I'm not rooting for a team. I'm rooting for somebody. I'm rooting for Lauren over Ernie. That's my new bracket. I'm going to do brackets of people whose brackets I want to win. Emily Seto follows me on Twitter. Emily, I hope I'm following or pronouncing your name correctly. And she tweeted at me. She said, okay, I got invited to an NCAA bracket pool where the person with the lowest score wins a prize. I'm going to enter and try to tank it on purpose. And I tweeted back at her and I said, Emily, I think that getting all of them wrong in the first round is as difficult as getting all of them right. You have, I mean, if you knew who all the wrong ones were, then you would know who all the right ones were, and nobody does. So a bracket where you get them all wrong doesn't give you any advantage. It's more fun if you think you're a loser, if you always do badly. I mean, I see the charm in this.
But you, that what you just said supposes that you have a 50-50 chance of guessing every single one. Which,
correct.
I mean, anything can happen, but that's not actually true, right?
What do you mean?
Well, I don't know. It doesn't take 2 seconds for this to tie a knot in my brain, but...
okay, you've got that. I give you that.
No, you know, so I think that...
Like the 16, in the first round, Griffin,
yeah.
The 16-1 is as easy to pick the winner as it is the loser. And the 8-9 is as easy to pick the winner as it is the loser. You really don't know. You just give it your best guess, right? Now,
I guess so.
If in the second round, though, you've picked correctly, that is, you've got a loser and a loser, then there's no more chances. Then every subsequent round, you'll be right, because it'll be loser, loser, loser. You don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, you won't even be in those.
Yeah, and so you've sort of blacked that all the way out now. But if you have if you're doing winners, then each subsequent round, you still have maybe some of the bracket games that are still in play.
Yeah.
You're not so sure. So that
makes it easier to lose.
Right, yeah.
Yes.
So I think the loser bracket, if you go all the way through, would be easier to do than the winner's bracket.
Right, which is what you were just saying. It's about as hard to do both. But it is a little easier to pick the loser, I think.
If you're a math...
what they should do is reset every round, and you have to pick the losers again.
Yeah, there you go.
That's a lot of work, though.
There you go. But I mean, but at least in the first round, I hope you're still listening, in the first round... Williams is doing that again. Turn on Wheel of Fortune, honey. In the first round, it would be the same. I think we can agree on that. Lauren's now walking to get coffee.
No, I was just thinking how, obviously, yes, it'd be very difficult either way. But it's so hard to say, because there are all these factors that play into March Madness that you just really can't calculate, you know, kind of. The mood in an arena or anything like that. Some players just play better in front of more fans. You know, you never know. And that's why no one ever gets a perfect bracket.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the first round, though, your chances of getting them all right are the same as your chances getting them all wrong. Pretty sure about that. Well, my estimated probability of accuracy, and I was almost a math minor in junior college, so I know that's not a lot, but that's what I'm working with right now, and I am 80% certain that in the first round, your chances of getting them all right are the same as getting them all wrong final answer.
I think that's wrong, but I can't prove it, and I don't want to talk about it anymore.
There's a reason I'm
most
in radio,
important.
Can't do math.
Okay, but just, okay, so we'll stop, he said, but somebody who knows, just please text in or call in. Just, I mean, we don't have to dwell on it, Griff, but aren't you curious to know? Sure, John, I am. So I'll do your part when you don't want to. So just tell us if, in fact, that is true, because I'm pretty sure that it is. All right, it's 123 on WGN. Also on Twitter yesterday, I saw a statistic about crime in Chicago that blew my mind, and this is a city that's used to startling crime statistics. So I've got another one I'm going to lay on you, and you'll need to maybe double-check this for me, but I think it's right. It's encouraging and also sobering in a minute. Hi, it's my turn, isn't it? All right, let's do this. After the news at 1:30, coming into our studio will be Kyle Dunbar, Alakazam the Human Knot, and Dr. Carl Blasphemy. I don't normally do group guests, but I have been intrigued by these people in the past. And if you know who they are, you would be excited about that. But I will tell you that they are appearing at the Chicago Tattoo Arts Convention at the Donald D. Stevens Convention Center in Rosemont this weekend. The big body art convention in Chicago is this weekend. And these are some of the most interesting representatives of our species that we have right now. He'll pause while you let that soak in at home. So, Griff, maybe you should get your camera out and we'll sort of video the interview as well.
Okay.
Because it is a visualist, but they're fun guys and they are interesting.
I have a feeling that the Human Knots like podcast maybe wouldn't be a success. You really do need to see the Human Knot.
We watched some video of Alakazam today and he does things that you and I don't. Dr. Carl Blasphemy and Kyle Dunbar will be here, too. I don't know who those people are. I mean, I know of them. I
now,
know
Kyle Dunbar is
a tattoo artist, right?
A tattoo artist, a very prominent tattoo artist on Instagram. He was on the reality show Ink Masters, which has a big following. I've actually not watched it, but I know a lot of people that have.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So they're going to come
so
by.
So you know him from there.
No, I don't. Here is, I follow Hey Jackass on Twitter, and that's somebody who, it's too bad that's his handle because he writes about crime in Chicago. And he posted this yesterday, which I didn't take the time to double check, but it sounds right. Barring any late reporting or delayed ER walk-ins, yesterday appears to be the first day in 4 years without a shooting or a homicide. The final tally for February 28th, 2015 to yesterday is 2,605 killed and 11,729 wounded in an unending string of days dating back 4 years. The final tally, starting back February 28th of 2015, 2,605 killed, 11,729 wounded. He says it's 4 years without a shooting or homicide. Yesterday appears to be the first day in 4 years without a shooting or a homicide. He tweets more about that, but that's just something to know about the city you live in. Meanwhile, we were talking yesterday, excuse me, about the idea that we should elect people with the popular vote, not an electoral college. The president should be elected not via an electoral college, but the popular vote. Democrats like that. Republicans don't. Donald Trump won on an electoral vote. He lost in the popular vote. So there's, you know, everybody has their own filter for this. I think people will like it as much as their allegiance to the incumbent in the White House on any given year. But you and I both understand the conversation and the pros and the cons generally. Eric Holder tweeted about this, and he said the following quote, "Abolish the Electoral College, have the direct vote of the people choose the president. To ensure national support, if one candidate does not get 50% of the vote, have a runoff 4 weeks after the election between the top two vote recipients. It's more fair, better for true democracy." That's exactly what we're doing in Chicago. And then he tweeted, Democrats will go, the upside is the Democrats will then go to Texas and Georgia and Louisiana and pick up more popular votes there. Democrats don't go to Texas now. That's going to be a red state. Why waste the time? You'll get no votes there. But you would go to Dallas and Houston. You'd sure go to Austin if you were a Democratic presidential candidate, and you should. Similarly, he said Republicans will then go to New York and, frankly, Illinois and Washington and California. More Americans will get attention, said Eric Holder. Our news click at WGNradio.com is asking you about that. Okay, into the newsroom. The latest coming up on WGN. Thank you, David Jennings. This is John Williams. I'm an untattooed person. The Chicago Tattoo Arts Convention is at the Donald D. Stevens Convention Center in Rosemont this weekend. So a bunch of interesting folks are out there starting today, and they're currently trying to get through security downstairs. That may take a while. Kyle Dunbar, Alakazam, the Human Knot, and Dr. Carl Blasphemy are downstairs and will wind their way up here in just a few minutes, and then we'll visit with them. Just one other quick note I'll make time with here. I was going to talk about this one of these days, but because of the climate change, the glaciers are melting and the ice is melting on places like Mount Everest. I guess that doesn't surprise you. I asked Griffin yesterday how many, let's do this with Lauren. Hey, Lauren, how many people do you think have died trying to climb Mount Everest? How many people have died on Mount Everest since people started to climb Mount Everest? How many people do we have recorded died up there?
I mean, I'd say probably, if I were to guess, in around 50? I'm not sure.
Griffin's guess was 297.
I don't know how many people have actually tackled Mount Everest.
I think my guess was 300.
And the correct answer is 297. 4,800 people have scaled the highest peak on Earth. So 4,800 people have scaled it. I believe that means made it to the top, although that sounds like a high number to me.
Yeah.
I'm just reading an article here from BBC.com. 4,800 people have scaled the highest peak on Earth. 300 have died on the peak since the first attempt, and two-thirds of those who have died are still there. They fall into crevasses, or there's a blizzard, you know, and they get buried, and they're just there. And they're up there so high that the people that are up there are also trying to get to the top, and they're not carrying them down. They're trying to survive themselves. There are two-thirds of the people who have died still on Mount Everest. The mountain is thawing, and so now, guess what's popping up? Dead bodies on Mount Everest. Wearing colorful outfits. So they're still there, kind of preserved. And they say, at least on the Chinese side, they're starting to gather them up and take them down. I looked at the list then, because this is what I do for you. I looked at a list of all of the people who have died climbing Mount Everest. In the year that John Krakauer and those people went up there, and he wrote about that in his famous book, it's stunning. There's like 14 people that died on the mountain that year. Last year, there were like 6 or 7 people. The year before, 6 or 7 people. The year before that, 8 people. Nearly a year goes by that several people do not die trying to climb Mount Everest. And two-thirds of those who have... So I guess that would be 200 people or so are still stuck into the side of the mountain or under the ice up there. And global warming and the glacier melting is starting to cause some of them to sort of pop up.
There was a movie. Sorry to do this. I didn't do it at all yesterday, though.
Hey, Griffin, what time is it? Well, I saw a movie about clocks.
There was a movie in 2015 called 45 Years about an old married couple. And their happy marriage was disturbed by the news that the man's girlfriend, before he met his wife 45 years ago, she died on a mountain, in a mountain climbing expedition they were on together.
Right.
And her body was found preserved, frozen on that mountain. And the news of this discovery really shook up their marriage 45 years in.
Well, did she thaw out and come back to life?
No, but it was just emotional.
That would be a movie. Just stay with me. Now, that would be a movie.
It was emotionally traumatic.
She shows up and she's got a pickaxe in one hand.
Well,
she's a little blistered, but she's good to go.
You can make 46 years. And that'll be the plot.
I could see how that would be a plot for a movie and difficult for a couple to process. It's 140. Okay, so the human knot and Dr. Blasphemy and some other people are here. They've been able to finally get through security. The body art conventions at the Donald D. Stevens Convention Center. We'll chat next. A whole host of folks just walked into the studio. I know you guys had to fight through traffic. Thanks for coming in. How are you, fellas? Nice to see you. Nice to meet you all.
Hey, mate.
I believe some of us have met before. I did a show in Minneapolis.
And
you guys
yes.
were doing the show there, and we had a nice time. And when I saw that you guys were coming to Chicago, I said, let's invite this crew of people back. So let's introduce ourselves. You are?
Kyle Dunbar.
Kyle Dunbar, you
Tattoo
are the guy.
Artist. I was on Ink Master 2 or 3 times.
Exactly.
Like
you can pull that microphone down a little bit, Kyle, if that's a little easier for you. Welcome. Boy, you are a handsome-looking fella.
God bless you. Boy, I don't get that much anymore.
Okay, sitting next to you is...
I'm Alakazam, the human knot. I'm a contortionist from Australia.
So why are you at a tattoo convention, then?
Well, I'm part of the entertainment ensemble on the stage that happens at the tattoo convention.
And you are tattooed as well?
I have a lot of tattoos, yeah.
Do you let people at this thing, or can they be on the stage if they don't have tattoos?
Yes.
Probably not. Probably...
Yeah, as long as the actor's good.
We need like a freak show.
I'm Carl, Dr. Blasphemy, the voice of the tattoo world, host for this show, and ringleader for these guys.
What a voice.
So, I did a video back in the past.
Where did you get that moniker? How did you come up with Dr. Blasphemy?
I got Dr. Blasphemy from an underground comic I read when I was a kid. He was the villain, and I can't really get too graphic with it, but he killed all the sidekicks, and it was just a great name to use, and I was working 98 Rock in Baltimore and started doing the wrestling report.
The
wrestling name...
Dr. It fits
Blasphemy.
You.
Yeah, no kidding. The voice, yeah. And for that matter, where your career's gone. Dr. Blasphemy is a great stage name.
We used to be a bit riskier.
Yeah.
I mean, we've been traveling 11 plus years.
Yeah.
If you heard Carl early before the hashtag Me Too era, then
Yeah, it was,
you
it was
understood his name. His moniker was well deserved, huh?
Yeah. No kidding. What happened now is the thanks to people like Kyle and all the other people on TV, like Ink Master and Best Ink and all the other tattoo shows, it's brought tattooing into the living room now.
Well, that's what I was just thinking. I know. You don't have to be Dr. Blasphemy to be a tattoo advocate these days. It's not so counterculture. It's a lot of people have tattoos.
It's hard to find somebody that doesn't.
What's the percentage of people? Do you guys know?
It used to be 1 in 8 people that you knew were tattooed, and it's already gotten to the point now to where 1 in 4 people that you know have a tattoo of some sort.
Yeah. So. And then if we just count tattoos per population, you would represent many, many people. I'll bet there's more. Like, there's 330 million people in the United States. I'll bet there's more than 330 million tattoos in the United States.
Oh, sure.
Well, more than one per person.
They're always in danger, too, because if you get 2 tattoos on the arm and then you get a background between them, now they're 1 tattoo. So.
Yeah, no kidding. How many tattoos do you have?
Well, I'm working towards 1. I've got over 20. Yeah, I've sat through the chair several times, but eventually they all get to become 1.
So describe your neck for us.
A sunflower.
I'm going to need more.
I get
than
grand
that.
Ladies come up to me, sweet old ladies, and they I watched you on the show, and 3 times now they have all thought it was a sunflower. I describe it as a monster eating my head, or possibly throwing it up. Kind of depends on the day.
It looks okay. I'll go next. It looks to me like right on your Adam's apple, there's an eyeball.
Yeah.
And around the eye are flower petals or tentacles that are reaching in and grabbing the eyeball.
We were going for teeth, so I'm going to tell him he messed
up. Or teeth. Okay, they're green teeth. That's why I thought of something, you know, herbal. Yeah. It looks like green teeth are eating your eye. Oh, so that's you kind of escaping from the jaws that are pulling you down in your shirt.
Sarlacc pit kind of a monster.
Yes. Okay, yeah. It's working
it's
now.
It's throwing up. I like to think it's throwing me up.
Is it, though, like a lot
I'm
of
an
heart?
Optimist.
If I have to explain it, then, well, you didn't get it, did you? Or do you care? I mean,
I think a lot of times it draws people away that I don't want to talk to, and every time it draws people to me, I do want to talk to.
Well, that's the thing that I always used to think about tattoos like yours, is that it's not a cry for help, but it's a cry for attention. And maybe that's a nice thing, like, hey, let's talk. Oh. Or maybe
it's like, hey, stay away.
It's a buffer, too.
Sometimes really. I don't care for people's attention. A lot of straight-laced people that wouldn't want to talk to me, thank God.
Yeah. I don't know if it's really a cry for attention anymore. A lot of people are using it just to express themselves and express their artwork. And,
well, since the dawn of time, I think, my stupid opinion, but it's well studied by people smarter than me. Tattoos assigned you to a place inside of a society, inside of a tribe originally, but it kept you safe too. If you saw somebody with weird tattoos on their face and you're foraging through the jungle or whatnot, you wouldn't go up and say hi because they might make you dinner. So, but now tattoos still exist for the same thing, to help put us inside of labels. We label ourselves into different sections of society.
So what are examples of that then?
A mason, I mean, the easiest maybe would say a mason that gets the Mason symbol on his hand or something
the
like
Navy
that.
Guy. The Navy guys used to have anchors.
And now the flag is going off all
college
crazy.
Kids
people
put
treat
it on,
that like a decoration.
People put their colleges on there.
Mm-hmm. Military. Yeah. Military applications, law enforcement.
Now, at one point, you become as tattooed as some of us like that, then you're also in a different fraternity. If you know, like you're working towards a bodysuit or, you know, it's just kind of like when motorcycle guys drive past each other on the road and they give a little... Yeah, I see you're on a motorcycle. No, we don't know why we do it.
Yeah, just, yeah. Hey.
Yeah, some of them are redundant that way. Yeah. So what's on your arms then?
Different various mistakes I've made throughout my life. This one's being lasered off. This one was an advertisement for a shop that went out of business made the logo.
The advertisement for a shop that went out of business is from your wrist to your elbow, and you have long arms. So there's a lot of my point is that wasn't just a small decision you made.
Oh, no.
You need to check with the CFOs of the people whose companies you're tattooing their logos on just to make sure they're financially sound. Just some advice from a
non-tattooed
person.
I got
person.
This because I knew it would not be out there anymore. I was almost happy that it would be, you know, more unique.
It is of an E.T.-like character.
The tattoo on my hand, I got to keep me from selling stuff. So it's a job stopper in some case, too. And I get to tell people, hey, man, it worked for me because I'm a tattoo artist.
Yeah, right. But
I made that decision not sell.
Suppose I want to be an accountant or something like that.
Oh, yeah. You don't want to. If you got something that said, hey, I'm an accountant, tattooed on your hand, Nobody's mad about it, you know?
My girlfriend is an accountant, and she's like the boss of all the accountants.
And
she's pretty heavily tattooed.
If you got a spreadsheet tattooed on you in some spot, people would be like, well, this guy's okay. He's got tattoos, but at least they're vocational. The right arm is for vocations. Hey, how you doing? This is my right arm. I shake hands with
Seriously?
It.
Is that the
attitude? Seriously, do not put anything that is not vocationally related. My stupid opinion, but I'm a genius.
I think your opinion works.
Yeah,
okay.
My right arm's kind of Dungeons and Dragons.
So what have you got on yours?
I've got Showtime on my right arm.
And you've got vocational. It seriously and on yours.
I'm a full-time entertainer for 22 years, so Showtime is my everyday.
From your elbow to your wrist, big block letters, Showtime.
That's right.
Okay, what else have you got on your arm?
I've got some X's there.
You've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 X's.
Well, I've got 10, really.
What are the 10 X's for? Those aren't just little X's. Those are big, thick, fat, bold X's. What's
right,
that
well, what
about?
I tell people is some tattoos mean something. People go, what does that mean? And other tattoos don't mean anything, and those don't mean anything.
If we look at his legs.
And are these just art? They don't mean anything?
I just like the shapes. I like a lot of shapes, so I've got tons of shapes
Take
on me.
Take your pants off.
Okay.
Take your pants off, Al. If you look at his legs, he's got
he is
arrows.
Now pulling his sweatpants down.
Yeah. It's okay. He's a professional.
No, he has inappropriate briefs on. Okay. And then he's got...
he's got arrows going up and down on his legs.
We just have to describe this.
But
it's
this goes
radio.
With his act as well.
But he has...
This leg is the one that goes through the racket after he's already gone through this racket.
Right.
Okay, so he has big blue outlined arrows with red dots in there, almost as if this side up.
Right.
One going up your leg, one going down your leg. What's that all about?
Well, I just like the shapes, basically. And you know, it's the arrow's coming up and the arrow's going down. It's kind of also like a karma thing. What goes around comes around.
Did it have nothing to do with your act where you put the racket through? Because you start with
only
that
Only afterwards.
Okay, so you are the human knot, right? You go by the human knot?
That's right.
You brought in a tennis racket with you that is unstrung.
That is
a normal size. That's actually a relatively thin-faced. It's a squash racket.
This is a squash racket.
Yeah.
Yeah, unstringed. So
which is even if it were very narrow, in other words, tennis racket.
Yeah, you have about 8 inches from here to here.
So what do you do with that?
I fit my whole body through it.
It's pretty incredible. We have more than just tattooing going on.
Can you do
in
that now, by any chance?
Yeah. Yeah, you
okay,
want to see
well, hold on a second. My producer's coming in here. He wants to video this.
We're going to get a videotape of Al going through it.
How tall are you?
With his tattoos.
How tall are you?
6'7".
6 foot tall. What size jacket do you wear? I just want to give our audience some size of your dimension. You're about a 36 jacket?
I've never worn a jacket.
Of course you haven't. He's now
about a 36 to 38.
Taking off his shirt. Oh, Lord, look
and
at
you
that.
See more of his tattoos
and
piercings.
I see his piercings, which I'm not comfortable with.
Oh, they're through his nipples.
Okay, so now he's taking the... Okay, hold on, Coach. Can you do this a little more slowly? I'll do play-by-play. Griffin is videoing it. The squash racket is now over one arm and shoulder, and now the other arm is up, and he's going to bring it down both arms above his head, down over his head. That's got to hurt his nose. He's squeezing it through his shoulders, and now it's going to be down around his neck. It's under his armpits. His body is fit. Okay, you can do that.
Like you belong at a car dealership.
I could barely get that over my head.
There's no way. Yeah. There's no way that this is going to get over his chest, especially with those piercings sticking.
Yeah, there's about no speed room in there right
now. I would go very slowly here. Now he's squeezing it over his ribs. And does that hurt?
Sometimes, yeah.
You're damn right it does. Okay, so now it's over his ribs, down around his waist. And now he's just got to slip it over his boom JJ. He's doing that.
Oh, okay.
Over his thighs and down. I've just watched a 6 foot tall, normal sized man somehow put it together for the human knot. work his way through a squash racket. Google squash racket, and you'll appreciate the amazingness of this.
Plus, this is only maybe, 12, 14 inches?
Yeah.
That's half the act, too. Once he's got this through his midsection, he'll actually go through foot and arm and head through another racket sideways.
In our studio, Alakazam, the human knot, Kyle Dunbar, the person who has been describing his tattoos,
Megmaster.
And Dr. Carl Blasphemy. So what do you do, Carl?
I'm the host for the show.
And by the way, this is the Chicago Tattoo Arts Convention at the Donald D. Stevens Convention Center this weekend.
Oh, it's a big, big show.
Is this a good stop for you guys?
Oh, this is an amazing stop for us. The biggest show in the world happens through our company. It's in Philadelphia. It's the Philadelphia Tattoo Arts Convention. And it's been going on for over 20 years now. This is only in its 10th year, and we're already just about to the size of the Philadelphia show. Chicago is a great city for us. It's a great stop.
What do you see and do here?
Well, we don't see much of anything but inside the convention center.
Yeah, sorry about
but
that.
But we have our own world there. Everything
I stick
you
around.
Need is there.
I hit Mon. We try and hit sheds, and you know you got to see the bean when you come out.
Yeah, we do a little bit of that. But once you're in our room, it's fully an immersive experience. We've got entertainment like the sideshows with Alakazam, the Human Knot. We have burlesque. We have a carnival sideshow. We have tattoo competitions. We have
competitions.
Art
contests. How does a competition work?
Well, it depends on what category you get in. We have several categories from small, black and gray, to large color, extra large color. We have portraits. We have different categories.
And then it's, okay, so then I'll come in with a blank slate for you. You'll tattoo and somebody will judge it who did the best.
Yeah, you can do that too. Yes. We have a Tattoo of the Day competition and we allow fresh tattoos in our other competitions. So you win awards for you and your artist. You come into the room, you see a bunch of artwork being sold, a bunch of clothing, a bunch of jewelry.
Is there this thing, and I was just thinking about this the other day, with somebody who had a tattoo that was intriguing to me, but I thought if they ever changed their mind about it, it'd be interesting if they came up with an ink that would naturally dissolve after 5 years and you could get it refreshed.
Funny you say that. We have that in that room. We have a vendor set up there that is doing tattoo removal while we're
What do you
there.
Think of that idea?
It's a great way to get a cover-up. You know, get that first hit or session or two with
laser removal. I've got three sessions on this one.
What do you mean? What are we talking about here? Three sessions.
Of having somebody use a laser to lighten
the
tattoo.
To, in other words, remove it.
Right.
So you made a decision on your left bicep that you're not on board with, right?
Nah, the guy told me it was an original piece, and I was trying to excite him. He's one of my employees. I wanted to excite him to do original pieces, and I found out it came from a guy in Australia, so I was pretty let down.
Wow. Well, I mean, I'm sorry.
Not because of Australia. But, I'm taking a hit on it.
Why? Because you felt like you were sold a fake work of art, in other words?
Yeah.
You wanted an original?
Yeah. Well, yeah, the kid was, he straight up lied to me about it.
What did you do about that?
Well, you don't work for him. Well, I don't actually own
the shop
anymore. I would
have punched him in the nose. That's what I would have done.
You know,
Kyle's
maybe. Not violent. I'm not violent.
If you've ever saw him on TV,
you
would
know. You know, I'm a very peaceful person.
Kyle was the one that got into the argument with Chris Nunez on Ink Master and had the shoving match with him and then was kicked off the show.
Yeah,
and
remember.
Then America voted him back.
I'm a lot better as a boss than as an employee, I find.
But do you guys worry, though, that, I mean, so here, look at me. I was maybe making the assumption that you would be a violent person because you've got outlandish tattoos.
You wouldn't be so far off the. If you check my rap sheet, you might. There's other people that would agree with you in high
okay,
judgment
last question,
places.
Guys. What advice do you have for people not to do with tattoos? Because it is permanent
names,
ink.
Names.
So what? Finish that thought.
Don't get your wife's name on you. Don't.
Your girlfriend's name, your boyfriend.
Spend money. Yeah. Don't get a cheap tattoo.
If you're going to get a name, you get it really
big. What else do you buy that lasts forever? Nothing.
And there's a difference in quality of.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
People will come up to you at the show, and Google is such a great thing. They got right there on their phone. I've been looking at this tattoo all week. How much would you charge me? And I've done this. I say, well, I'm honest with you. I know I'm going to give the guy a sticker shock, but yeah, that tattoo right there is beautiful. I'm going to charge you almost $2,500. It's going to take two sessions to get it done. Oh, but hey, before you go away discouraged, I asked him to let me see his Google page, and I just went through the same thing, and sure enough, there it was. Now that tattoo right there I can do for $500.
Hmm.
It's the same tattoo. It's just you clearly could see the difference between the quality.
Yeah.
The $2,500 one was done.
You're getting what you pay for, just like with home improvements or anything. And
every now and then you will see one that is just arrestingly beautiful, you know, in color and description and definition, stuff like that.
You're not going to see one this weekend. You're going to see several thousand of them this weekend. Yeah. We have some of the best artists from all over the world.
For the guys is to come out and watch those competitions. Even if they just try and watch, get a front row seat at the judgment. I mean, with the Ink Master, the show I was on, it's a competition show. If these guys show up, they see the same thing. They get more meat and potatoes than they do from the show, which is all drama. And, you know, they get to see these actual works of art.
You guys are fun. Come back again. Keep coming back.
We will.
Thanks.
Kyle Dunbar.
Especially
Alakazam,
if you make it late in the day like this.
Thanks for demonstrating for us.
No worries, mate.
And,
you need to come down.
Yeah, I do.
You need to get a tattoo.
I am so... I am 6 feet of... pale canvas.
Oh, you're just open for
get
all kinds
of... before you lose elasticity.
We're doing live human suspension, too. You can come down and be a part of that.
I'm not going to do any of that. Thank
you're
you,
You're not going to suspend?
No, I'm not going to do anything for you guys. This is not my cup of tea.
At least come and see me.
Al, put him through the racket. Put him through the racket, Al.
Fellas, congratulations. Continued success.
Hey, man, thank you. Please visit us at villainarts.com. And you got all the other info?
I do. Villainarts.com. Chicago Tattoo Arts Conventions at the Donald D. Stevens Convention Center, March 22nd through 24th.
Yeah. Follow me on Instagram at Dr. Blasphemy.
I've got an opening today, so come in and get tattooed by me.
Yeah, Ink by Kyle.
And I'm on Instagram at The Human Knot.
Fellas, congrats. Thanks again. 159 Stories That Matter from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom are next.
Thinking big thoughts.
so you don't have to.
I'm thinking.
Here's John Williams.
I know there have been some close games, but to me, the NCAA tournament has not been as fun, exciting, or shocking as it has been in years past. Where's that 13 with the win? Where's that 12? Where's that 15 or 14 making it close? And there's, you know, a couple of those we could have that argument. But by and large, I think it's maybe because my brackets aren't dynamite and I was looking for more interesting stuff. I don't think it has been as, put it this way, there have been a lot of very one-sided games. Heck, the 8-9, Oklahoma over Mississippi, that's a 9 over an 8, and they beat them by 95-72. Now, you do have at the half, as David Jennings just said, UC Irvine tied at 30 each with Kansas State. That's a 13-4. Iowa, I like the Big Ten in the tournament this year, 79 over Cincinnati. That's a 7 seed, 79-72. So we'll just keep you updated on scores as the afternoon moves along. Julia Roberts was on a British TV show the other day promoting her new movie, Ben is Back, and she was asked about the college admissions scandal.
It's interesting what a mother would do for a son, isn't it?
Well, to bring the college situation into the mix, that to me is so sad from an outsider that it says a little bit, I don't have enough faith in you.
A lot of people are saying Julia Roberts nailed it for that observation. On Twitter, Heidi Stevens wrote, "Do you know where five people you admire went to college? Can we talk about the value of trade schools?" That was my first hot take when this thing went down, was that what we need to do is have people who went to very ordinary schools who have done extraordinary things out themselves so that you don't have to go to USC or Yale or Harvard. You can say, no, I went to Northern Illinois University. It's a fine school. And look at me. I'm the CEO of a big welding firm in Chicago, or I'm the this of the that. You know that you've achieved a level of success that you hoped and dreamed for that made your parents proud. And what do you know? You didn't have to go to Yale. Heidi's also been writing more about this topic on Twitter and in the Tribune. Just one other quick quote from Heidi Stevens. She said, "College is the beginning of something, not the end. College is where you fill your mind with new ideas. College doesn't define you. College shapes you." More than 500,000 people have read the column online so far that she wrote about this. 500,000, and many hundreds have emailed her from all around the world. She noted that author and educator Rosalind Wiseman, best known for her 2002 New York Times bestseller Queen Bees and Wannabes, helping your daughter survive cliques, gossip, boyfriends, and other realities of adolescence, added her voice. She urges grown-ups to stop asking high schoolers in their lives where they're going to college. "This feels especially urgent at this moment," Stephen said, "when a whole bunch of seniors are waiting for acceptance letters and when we're engaged in a national dialogue about the entire admissions process. Reflexively asking high schoolers where they're going in the fall adds to the anxiety." And so they came up with some other questions that if you want to engage a kid this time of year, that you might ask. Are you taking any classes in school that you like and are really interested in? Or what do you think important issues are for high school students? You can come up with your own list, but just don't reflexively say, where are you going to school? It's a little judgy in a way, said Heidi Stevens, who's on a phone line right now. Hey, Heidi, it's John. How are you?
Hi, John. I'm good. How are you?
Good. And I just added that last thought. Maybe I don't mean it. Maybe you didn't. I said it's a little judgy. But when you ask, where are they going to school, that's always an interesting Q&A, isn't it?
It is an interesting Q&A, and I think it's usually well-intentioned.
Yeah, you want to celebrate them, yeah.
You want to celebrate them, and also, like, honestly, how much does the average, 47, 56, 39-year-old have in common with a high school senior? Like, it's sort of just, it's almost like talking about the weather. Like, hey, where are you going to school in the fall?
Yeah.
I don't think there's always anything, malicious or judgy underneath of it. I think that what this college shooting scandal offers us is a moment to pause before we reflexively ask those questions, well-intentioned or non-judgmental as they may be, because, I think what we have to do right now is, number one, hold these schools and these, alleged criminals, you know, who offered bribes and took bribes accountable. But I think for the rest of us, too, we got to take a look at, like, how much pressure we are putting on our kids and how we are, you know, kind of feeding this narrative that, like, there's a handful of schools that equal success, when that's just really not at all the case. And to go back to your first hot take, which I love, I'm gonna go ahead and shout out my college.
Okay, here we go. Wait, let me do it. Heidi Stevens. Well, I was about to say Northwestern. She's a Chicago Tribune columnist of some note, and so journalist. I'm going to say Missouri or Northwestern.
I went to Eastern Illinois University in Charleston, Illinois. My tuition was $1,900 a year. A year! I paid $1,900 a year. And there was a daily student newspaper, and it was fantastic, and the journalism department was great. And, you know, a couple other notable Tribune greats, Ted Gregory, Phil Vitale among them, also Eastern alums. But for sure, where you go to school, the name of your school does not equal your human worth, your human potential. Even going to college doesn't equal your human worth or your human potential, right? You could go to cosmetology school, you could become a plumber, you can do all sorts of things and have a successful, happy, fulfilling, productive life. And, like, I don't know, I kind of want to use this college shooting scandal as an invitation to the grown-ups in any given room to, like, do a little better job of helping kids understand that.
Yeah, this resonates with me, too, maybe because I went to Joliet Junior College and then Southern Illinois at Carbondale. And maybe people don't want to aspire to be a broadcaster like me. I'm trying not to make myself the object of this. My point is, I've achieved a level of success, and I went to a very, you know, easy to get into school, albeit a good broadcasting school. But if you want to be a broadcaster, go to Southern Illinois. They'll have you. And then it just matters what you do with that. But I'm thinking beyond me, and I'm thinking, okay, I didn't see it, you know, because I know Stephen Colbert went to Northwestern, and I know Nora Roberts, who I watch on CBS in the morning, went to Georgetown, because lo and behold, it comes up a lot. But where's the list of famous people who went to Eastern and Southern? And I do think that would be helpful, instructive somehow, you know?
I think so, too. I mean, I think we tend to latch on to these stories of, like, super uber famous, uber wealthy Steve Jobs types who sort of like flamed out in college, like, oh, college didn't work out for them. And we have a handful of those stories floating around, but we don't talk enough about, you know, the people who buckled down and worked really hard, but worked really hard at schools that weren't fancy and weren't expensive, and nobody would think of bribing their, you know, bribing their kids' way into, right?
Right,
like, nobody's bribing,
how much did,
you know, anybody at Eastern to let their kid in. No, I mean, I hope.
That's not money well spent if you did that to get into our schools.
Not money well spent. No, it's not.
Okay. But one last thing about this, and I'll let Kevin actually make this point, because it was something else I wanted to hear somebody comment on. Hey, Kevin, you're on WGN. What did you want to say?
Thanks, Sean. I hope I don't embarrass my daughter, but my daughter was going to go to law school. So when she first year of law school, she went to Loyola. And what happens between your first and second year of law school, you apply to go become clerk between your second and third year. When she was at Loyola, she got contacted by 8 law firms to become a clerk between her second and third year. The following week, she had applied to Northwestern because she did so well the first year. When she applied to Northwestern, got accepted to Northwestern, 30 law firms contacted her to become a clerk. So the fact that even though she had not even attended a class yet, just the fact that she was going to attend Northwestern Law School made a difference.
Here's what I don't like about the conversation we've been having lately. We make that sound as almost as if it's some sort of artificial conceit. It's a real thing, and there's nothing wrong with being aspirational and very successful. So if you can get into Yale, you know, I hope we're not saying that that's not worthy of your effort or, for that matter, money. I mean, it is.
Here's my take on that. It's 100% worth your effort and money. And if it's kid-driven, I think that's awesome. I think any kid who sets his or her sights on a specific law school or a specific undergraduate program or a specific anything, like, Absolutely. The parents should cheer them on and be proud of them, and the kids should be proud of themselves. The part that I think we should talk a little bit more about is when it's not kid-driven. When a kid is like, yeah, I'd kind of like to go to, you know, Madison, and the parents are like, no, you're going to, you know, UCLA, or what you name it, Georgetown, whatever. Or you know, I'm not sure I'm ready for college. You know, I think I'd like to take a year and try a trade. No, you're going to blah, blah, blah. Like, those are the conversations that I think this college shooting scandal can help us, you know, launch, because, you know, it's the kid's future, it's the kid's life, and to the extent that, you know, some kids have a path in mind that they really want to take and are really working hard to take, like, that's awesome. I don't, there's no, nothing should be taken from them. But for the parents whose egos, I would say, are a little wrapped up in where their kids end up, to the point where, you know, if they had 500 grand, they might slip it to somebody to get their kid in. You know, that's the part that, like, we need to tackle. And for our kids' sakes, because they're, you know, these kids, high school seniors, are waiting for their college acceptance letters right now, and the emails are going out. You know, I've gotten them from my stepson's school, like, here's how to help your kid handle the rejection and the disappointment and not getting into their top schools. That's just as much for the parents. Like, here's how to handle your rejection.
It's a thicker packet for the parents. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, exactly. And
I'm out of time.
Yeah, that's okay.
You need to start a hashtag with me, though, Heidi. And it's, I don't know what the hashtag is, but it's, you know, I went to a regular school.
I like it.
And maybe some famous people will pick up on that as well. It's a nice piece in the Tribune. Stop asking high schoolers where they're going to college. And other lessons we should learn from the college cheating scandal. Well done, Heidi. Thanks for your time this afternoon.
Thanks, John.
As always, it's 2:21. This is WGN. One of our texters, I was on Twitter again. One of our listeners tweeted at me yesterday something about getting out of a parking ticket. Do you do this? And does it work? In a minute. 2:24, The Bright Side comes your way in the next half hour. Call or text in fun things that are making you smile, something that's making you happy. What's your bright side? By the way, we also give away bright side pins now to some randomly selected callers and texters. We'll do that in the next half hour. Thank you very much to the Joint Relief Institute that gave us the pins. Their name does not appear on that shiny yellow and orange pin. It says The Bright Side. It's got a smiling sun on there. It's really kind of fun. And I know a lot of you have really been happy to receive it. So we'll hand some of those out in the next half hour as well. One of our texters or tweeters said, hey, John, I have a police friend who issues tickets to cars parked illegally, even if the driver is still inside. He says, quote, if your car is in park gear, you are parked. So to this day, if I'm sitting in my car parked illegally, I leave my foot in drive mode with I leave the car in drive mode with my foot on the brake. I do that too, and I don't know if that would help or not. Have you been to that movie at all, Lauren? Does that make any sense to you?
I feel like I haven't been in that specific situation, but any time I'm worried, I have the flashers on. Which I don't know if that means anything.
Yeah, this is really the same thing, isn't it? Okay, so, and it's not a cop usually, right? It's one of those meter readers that comes by.
Something, you're just always kind of lurking and looking around.
But I do think, to me, the here's why we have people writing tickets. I have such good, what do they call that? Subjective ethics, situational ethics. The reason that we write tickets is because we want other people to have access to that spot. It generates a little revenue when you park there, but mostly I think it's, as a society decided that people should have equal access to the stores and shops. It's good for the people. It's good for the stores and shops. Traffic churns. Well, if I'm sitting there, I'm not going to sit there for 4 hours and tie up this spot. My husband has just run into the hardware store to get a wing nut. You wing nut. So we don't really deserve a ticket. We're not the problem. That's, I think, how that works. And my point is, I would make that argument to the ticket writer. Hey, yeah, but I'm here. and I've got the blinkers on. In fact, I'm still in gear. I'm not the problem. Griffin, what are you hearing on that?
I'm not hearing anything on that, actually. I just had a lot of texts about the last segment, though. And,
with Heidi.
Yeah, and where people went to college and stuff like that. This is kind of representative. King John 708 says, I went to Indian Hills Community College in Ottumwa, Iowa. I still work in my field, health information management, 35 years later. Moved to the big city for work. I was the first child to go to college.
Yeah.
And it's just representative of a lot of.
You're getting a lot like that?
Uh-huh.
And, I'm so glad to hear that.
Oh, yeah. And notable people that went to, Robert Zemeckis went to Northeastern, maybe, Illinois University, one of those.
Yeah.
But there's a bunch of them.
Oh, that would be a nice assignment for you. Come up with 100 people I know who would be eye-popping names who went to schools that are not eye-popping.
Yeah, I don't think it would be hard.
Speaking of EIU, Jimmy Garoppolo went there. He's the guy that was backing up Tom Brady forever.
Oh, sure. And Tony Romo was on here, too. I can't remember.
Oh, yeah. No, he's an Eastern grad.
Right,
He's a Panther. Go Panthers. Eastern, for a while, was churning out some very good NFL quarterbacks. But I haven't seen somebody do that. And I'm like, I don't know what the hashtag is. You know, extraordinary people, ordinary school, something like that. I don't know. Somebody work that out there. I'm not good at this, but it would seem to me like there would be some value in that. It's 2:28. Okay, here's what we're going to do. The news. After the news, we'll come back with some fun things we like to recommend on Fridays after the 2:30 news we think you might enjoy doing. We'll take a break, and then we'll do the bright side. You'll call in, tell us some good news in your world. Kevin Powell will whistle. It'll be a lot of fun.
Thank you, David. Before we do our fun things to do segment, a segment that we call fun things to do, and then our bright side of life, I just wanted to update you on a couple of other quick scores here.
So everybody's watching the Virginia game because they were the first time ever a number one seed was knocked out of the tournament last year. So here they are now tipping off today against number 16, Gardner-Webb, and they are losing by 10 with 8 minutes left in the first half. It's 24-14. You know, these teams that are better ranked, Michigan State, Bradley was playing them tough. Bradley was beating Michigan State, but you knew Michigan State was going to come around and win that game, and Michigan State did. So Virginia's probably going to come around and win that game. But they do not want to be in this position today. This is like, uh-oh, it's happening again. Sorry. So anyway, it's currently Gardner-Webb 26, Virginia 14. The margin is now 12 with 8.5 minutes left in the first half. The other dramatic opportunity would be the 15-2 Colgate-Tennessee tilt. And Tennessee is handling Colgate right now 31-20 with 4 minutes left in the first half on that one. We'll keep you posted on the... You know, I don't care a lick about Virginia Gardner-Webb, but I love the drama of it all. And we do have that. All right, 3, 2, 1, woof.
Out on the river bend, looking out on the thing that is.
Fridays at this time, we like to give you something fun to do. This reminds me of a segment we do on Saturday mornings with producer Griff, who's producing for us today. What are we listening to, Griff?
This is a band called Better Oblivion. Bear with me. Okay. Better Oblivion Community Center.
I want to name a band someday.
It's a mouthful. I know. In the case of these two singers, it's their second or third band, so they've got some experience. It's Phoebe Bridgers. She's a rising solo star who sings a lot of music like this. And the male voice you hear is Connor Oberst of Bright Eyes. That's a very famous band to some of us.
I recognize his voice.
Yeah,
I don't know anything about these people. And what's the name of this band?
Better Oblivion Community Center.
Right. I have no musical talent, but I just want to come up with something like that.
Uh-huh.
And then you guys go ahead and learn how to play the guitar. Where are they going to be?
Lincoln Hall, tomorrow night at 8 p.m. It's $25. Look it up.
Speaking of fun things to do this weekend, the Chicago European Film Festival begins today at the Gene Siskel Film Center, largest showcase for films from the European Union nations in North America. 60 films, including the Romanian murder mystery Thou Shalt Not Kill, or the Spanish animated movie Bunuel, Bunuel in the Labyrinth of the Turtles. $11 to go to a show. Details at SiskelFilmCenter.org. What do you got?
Oh, One thing that I would really love to go to, and I might still try, known as C2E2. It is the Chicago Comic and Entertainment Expo. That's all weekend at the McCormick Place. It is basically a nerd's paradise. It's all things comic books, wrestling, movies, games, whatever you can think of. Paul Rudd will be there. He's one of the guests. It's very exciting. I actually know a comic book illustrator that will be there, and he's very talented. So a lot of cool things to check out there.
That's the McCormick Place this weekend. Out at Navy Pier, Chicago Flower and Garden Show continues through Sunday. $5 to $20 for tickets. All kinds of things that you might expect at the Chicago Flower and Garden Show. Details at chicagoflower.com.
And speaking of Navy Pier, Festival of Colors. You could go celebrate there. That's free, totally free. All you need to do is bring a white shirt and take part in the traditional throwing of the color, a very popular Indian holiday. It's always very beautiful when I see things involving Festival of Colors. That's 1 to 5 tomorrow.
Out at Navy Pier.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Wilco's Jeff Tweedy's at the Vic tonight and tomorrow night. Saturday is sold out, but you can still go tonight. Got to be over 18, $75 to go see Jeff Tweedy. Show starts at 8 o'clock. More information at victheater.com.
And, of course, if you haven't already noticed, over by Grant Park, a lot of closures, and that's because the Shamrock Shuffle is on Sunday. A lot of people like to run in that one. It's a pretty
this
big
Sunday?
One.
This Sunday?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But St. Patrick's Day was last weekend.
Isn't that weird?
We kind of stretch. We get a lot of mileage out of St. Yeah. Patrick's Day in Chicago.
Gotta love the Irish. $55 to register for that, and everything kind of kicks off at 8:30.
By the way, are you also going to do the convention, the Donald D. Stevens Tattoo Fest?
You know what? I have that down here, and I was looking at that. I thought that was interesting. The funny thing is, even though I have one tattoo, I always feel a little overwhelmed at things like that. I don't feel like a true tattooed person.
That's at the Donald D. Stevens Convention Center, and that's this weekend. The mm-hmm. Tattoo Arts Fest comes to Chicago. We visited with a couple of them in the last half hour, and that was a lot of fun. I'll just wrap it up by saying the Better Oblivion community. Oh, no, that's yours, Griffin. The Bulls play the Jazz tomorrow night at 7 at the United Center, and the Blackhawks are away tomorrow. They're back at the UC Sunday night at 7 o'clock against the Colorado Avalanche. And, well, last night's game was disappointing. I don't know. Kevin, are they out of it yet? I'm not sure if Kevin's listening in there. The Blackhawks mathematically could still be in the Stanley Cup playoffs, right?
Yes. It's funny you say that. I was actually just writing my 3 o'clock report. And it says Blackhawks still not out of it despite the 3-1 loss last night. So they are still alive. They've got some matchups against teams that are ahead of them in the playoff race. But, man, if they won last night, they were right there in the wild card race.
A lot of people are calling in about that Virginia game. Okay, nobody is, but still, look at this.
I need G-Webb to win.
What? You're crazy,
You do not have Gardner Webb.
So I do something a little different. It's not a bracket. It's more of It is a draft of the 64 team field. So there's 8 teams in this group I'm with, and we do a draft. Okay, so you draft through every single team, and you get 8 teams. There's 8 teams. There are 8 groups. I'll put it that way, and then we all get 8 teams to root for. So by the last round of the draft, there are only 15 and 16 seeds left. So I said I'll take G Webb. If anybody knows how to lose as a top seed, it's Virginia. Let's take a flyer on G Webb.
Right now, it's 26-14.
Yes.
Gardner Webb is beating
this happens,
Virginia by 12.
Or money.
With 7.5 minutes left. The Bright Side of Life is your chance to call or text right now, 312-981-7200. Call or text right now, 312-981-7200. This is our Friday feature called The Bright Side, and we're giving away Bright Side pins, courtesy of our friends at the Joint Relief Institute. They sponsor the segment next. Yeah. Stand by. I'm just pulling up my Facebook page. We've been live streaming this on Facebook, but we are not doing that today. But we do have a link on my Facebook page where you can simply comment what your bright side is. Now I've got it up. And we'll go ahead and read some of those as well. Lauren will be reading your text to 312-981-7200. I'll take your calls, and now's the time to call, because it's the bright side.
Some things in life are bad.
Call me.
They can really make you mad.
What's making you smile?
Other things just make you swear and curse.
312.
When you're chewing on life's gristle.
981.
That grumble. Give a whistle.
7200. We do this on Fridays.
Whistle. Help things turn out for the best.
Sing at home if you know the words.
Always look on the bright side of life.
Kevin, go.
Always look on the light side of life.
How can a man get better every single week? But yet he does.
I train all day. All night.
You think it can't get better than that, and then the next week he whistles even better.
It's pure talent.
It's really, it's fun to watch him grow, too, isn't it? As a whistler, Lauren, do you have a bright side you want to share with the whole class?
I do have a bright side. I'm enjoying the sunshine for the first time in a few days. It's a big difference.
Kevin Powell, WGN Radio Sports.
I'm going to Arizona this weekend. Yeah, I can't wait.
My bright side is I'm going to the DePaul basketball game. They're in that third tournament. They won their first game. They're playing somebody somewhere on Monday. And my sons and I are going to go watch DePaul play. We're big Max Strus fans, and he's going to get another chance to hoist a three-pointer! Griffin's producing today. Griff, what's your bright side?
My friends Carly and Jenny from college are in town.
Woo-hoo!
And I don't know what we're going to do, but it's going to be fun.
All right, let's take some phone calls. This is for you, 312-981-7200. Hey, Joe, you're on WGN. What's your bright side?
Hi, John. I got to transport a rescued golden retriever today from Lyle to Freeport.
What a good man you are. Put a smile on your face for the dog and for the family that got him, right?
Yes, sir.
You're a good man. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
Lauren Lapka, Rita Texter.
Yeah, I got a lot of good ones. So 773, I like what he's saying, or he or she is saying. Brightside, cruised with my sunroof open for the first time in forever. I'm loving it.
Open roof cruising, like that. Hey, Diane, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling today, Diane?
I'm smiling because my three-year-old great-grandson, Dakota, is getting his wheelchair. He has spent a bit for that, so he was okayed for a wheelchair.
Oh, what a nice thing. Hey, you know what? I want you to take one of those bright side pins and pin it on him or his chair, okay?
Oh, that would be great.
Yeah, won't that be fun? We'll kind of brighten the thing up for y'all, all right?
Okay, thank you.
Hold on. Producer Griff's going to talk to you. We'll make sure you get the bright side pin, okay?
Okay.
Always look on the light side of life.
I'm going to go to line four next. This is Jenny. You're on WGN. Jenny, why are you smiling?
I'm on my way to Peoria for the Ladies State Bowling Tournament.
I didn't.
So we bowl Saturday and Sunday. So now I've got 300 going.
I was just
going
to say, this isn't the IHSA. This is adult women who are bowling?
Yes. Right, right.
And have you rolled a 300 game before?
No, but you always, you know, before you bowl, you're anticipating good games, and then when I come home Sunday, it'll be like, oh well.
do they do it at the Landmark Lanes over there off of University?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, they've got a nice bowling center there. They used to do it down there. Have a great weekend. Bowl well, okay?
Okay, thanks.
Lauren Lapka, go.
815 says that their bright side is finishing the third week of a family road cruise road trip. I'm not sure what a road cruise road trip is, but with their 70-year-old parents and eldest daughter. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Beanie, you're on WGN. What's your bright side?
My bright side is that my second cousin, Lauren Lapka, is now working for WGN.
Oh, my goodness. Woo-hoo. Hello. How are you?
Did I say your name correctly?
But my real name is Belvina.
I like that, too.
Okay, thank you.
Wow.
And I love listening to you. You make me laugh all the time,
Mr. Williams. Laugh
is love, WGN. You got a nice family. That's your cousin?
The best. Second cousin, yeah, I have a big, big family.
Thank you for calling. Yeah, we are thrilled to have Lauren in the studio. Diane, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling?
Oh, I was already on. I was waiting for them to talk to me. My grandson was in his wheelchair.
Do not hang up. You stay right there, Diane.
Okay.
We're coming to you. Kathy, why are you smiling? You're on the air.
Hi, John. I just found out I'm going to be a great grandma.
Holy cow. Boy, you sound great for being a great grandma.
I'm very active. I'm moving around. Gotta love it.
What else you got?
630 says, my husband and I are into our third week of being non-smokers, and it feels fantastic.
Wow.
Congratulations.
3 weeks in. You'd think that'd be a really tough time for
them.
But they're celebrating it. Hooray,
that is
hooray,
great.
Hooray.
Yes, great news.
This is Carl. You're on WGN. Why are you smiling, Carl?
Hey, John. First of all, kudos to Griff, and I'm looking forward to going to see that scary movie, Us.
Oh, yeah.
Tonight with the gal pal. So.
3.5 stars in the Tribune today. Report back to me on that, okay?
You got it, John. We'll do it.
Have a great
weekend.
You betcha. Go, girl. What have you got?
This is a good one. 815. Building 20 beds for 20 kids sleeping on the floor in Kankakee this weekend with Sleep in Heavenly Peace.
Yeah, I've heard about
great
that.
Great work.
Yeah, that's a great organization.
Oh,
good
man.
For them.
Thank you for all that you're doing.
Deanna, you're on WGN Radio. Why are you smiling?
Hey, I started a brand new clothing brand.
What is it?
Protect Your Energy.
So wait a minute. You found or you started?
No, I started it. I started it. It's brand new. I'm designing it. I'm printing it. I'm doing everything.
Okay, so if I want to buy the clothing that you're designing, how do I get it, Deanna?
You go on my website, protectyaenergy.com.
Always look on. Good luck to you.
Got a quick one here. 219 says, I'm 66 today. That's a bright side, absolutely. Seems jolly rotten.
There's something you forgot. Speaking of sunshine, hey, Logan, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling?
I'm going to spring break.
Yeah, spring break.
Where are you going?
To Florida to go to Universal Studios Santa Cruz.
Oh, wow. Oh. Wow. Have a great trip, okay?
Thank you.
Sounds like they're on the way.
Another good one. 815. I am now retired after 35 years as an air traffic controller.
Wow.
Congratulations.
Have a drink on us.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine the stress and how good it must feel to hang that up?
Oh, my goodness. Every time I see reports or movies with them in it, I get anxious.
Yeah.
So thank you for all you do.
Yes, thank you for your service to our nation in the skies. Hey, Paul, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling, Paul?
I am smiling because 33 years ago today, my wife Diane and I got married.
Oh, happy Aww. Anniversary. Did you get her something really nice?
We're going to have a really nice dinner tonight, and we're doing a trip later this year.
Okay. You know what? Let's give her one of those Brightside pins, too, okay?
Cool.
Yeah, hold on. Griff will talk to you about that. Got time for maybe just a couple more. Hey, Diane, you're on WGN. What's your Brightside, Diane?
Hi, John. Oh, my son. It's 100 days sober.
Oh, wow.
We're celebrating. Yes, I'm very proud of him.
I am,
very proud.
I am, too. Oh, hooray. Hooray for you. Hooray for him. Congrats, okay?
Yeah, it's Jeff. Jeffrey.
Attaboy, Jeff. You hang in there, buddy. We're all with you, man.
Okay. Thanks, John. For life is quite absurd.
All right, let's give a bright side pin to the next text you read.
All righty. Well, this one's fun, especially for anyone who's spring breaking. 630 says they're going camping for the first time in my girlfriend's new van.
We do this on Fridays. So, Griff, you make sure you get that number for that texter. The one that she just read. You've got that number, right, Lauren Lapka?
That I do.
We heard from Lauren Lapka's cousin today.
Yeah. Look at that.
BB Beanie?
Beanie.
Beanie.
Mm-hmm.
Because her real name is...
Honestly, I didn't even know that was her real name. How sad is that?
It was a lot, is what it was.
That's the thing. Just everyone calls her Beanie.
Hey, by the way, Kevin is talking to somebody over there. He's talking to Ro. They're getting ready for their show. I'm just dialing up the games here. Hold on one quick second. I want to see what the... Let's come back with some scores from
the NCAA. I think you jinxed it because everything's kind of chaotic now. There's ties, there's...
I said it was boring, there was no great drama, and now Virginia has been losing handsomely to Gardner-Webb. And with 3 minutes left, Gardner-Webb 33, Virginia 25. The gap was 12, now it's 8. That's 8. Yeah, now it's 30. No, now it's 36. The gap is 11. It's 36-25. 16-seed Gardner-Webb once again up on Virginia with 2.5 minutes left in the first half.
Oh, man.
We walk down the halls now and punch the buttons up for Studio A, where Rokan, Anna DeVlantis, and company are ready. Hi, guys.
Hello there, John. John, tomorrow on your radio program.
Oh, yeah,
you know, you're on Saturdays.
Thanks for the heads up.
You're welcome. I just want to make sure that you're aware of
there
that.
There have been days that I went, oh, I got to go to work.
I know. I used to do that, too. I used to do that 6 days Saturday thing. And, mm-hmm. it's, and it is, It's laborious.
You know what, though, Ro? I'll just say this. This is one I know I brought it up, but Saturdays, we have such... It's a different mood.
Oh, I know. It's fun.
The bosses aren't here.
Yep.
Not that we don't like our bosses, but it's just such
Come on, we don't like our bosses. Yeah.
It's such a nice vibe. I work with Griffin. I work with, used to work with Doma T. Now I work with Joe Brand and Don Kleppen. And it's just a fun little gathering we have.
The Saturdays were always a lot of fun because I didn't do anything that I did during the week. And I did things that I probably shouldn't have been doing. And it worked out great.
There is such a different tone to an office on a Saturday.
And then you say, how can I recapture that Monday through Friday?
Right, but it doesn't work.
But they don't want you to. Well, also, there's stuff going on in the world.
Well, there's that.
Yeah. You know this, working Saturday mornings, the one thing that always happens is a celebrity death gets announced on Saturday mornings. Because like Cedar Sinai clears out all of the people who've died over the week, and then they dump all those names on. So it's always, you know, like Yul Gibbons and people from like the, you know, early days of television.
Hey, Griff, there's a fun feature for us to do on our Saturday show now.
Yeah, that's what I used to do. Celebrity Death Watch. And I'd have people guess who it was going to be. And then, unfortunately, some died right during the show.
And you're going to bring some of this fun to my show tomorrow.
Yes, that's the point, is that Mr. Cochran and I, and Mr. Cochran and I are going to be appearing together on your show, and Mr. Ennett and Mr. Powell, Dave Ennett and Kevin Powell, are
from
going to be.
Arizona,
yes.
You guys, the warmth of Arizona.
You guys are flying out after the show.
Discussing presidential movement here to talk about exactly how we're doing this, but
what's so super secret about how you're getting there?
It's because we never discuss travel plans.
Oh.
We never discuss for logistic and security purposes.
I think you and Steve Cochran should be on separate flights anyway. Just
yes,
as
Steve and I. Well, we are, and Steve and I are taking. Actually, Kevin and I are going to take the bus.
Greyhound.
That's a road trip.
That's what my dad suggested to me. He goes, "You're not flying that 737 Max, are you?" I go, "I don't think so." He goes, "Take the bus."
Thanks, Dad. All right, so you guys are on my show tomorrow in the 11 a.m. to 12 o'clock
hour. Yes, yeah, it'll be
fun. We'll have a great time. Have a great trip. I'm leaving
Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye, John.